What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go! Booty, booty, it's time to get this party started. Booty, booty, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is booty, booty. It's time to get this party started tonight.
It's a Habs shirt. Go Habs, go.
We'll ignore that for the time being.
Yeah.
It's more important things to talk about. We've got a controversy. We've got a scandal. Now we're taping this before Canada takes on New Zealand later this morning, Eastern time. I'm just reading now that there's Ben Steiner is reporting just 6,000 tickets have been sold for this match in a stadium of 42,000 potentially. That's Olympic soccer though, isn't it? It doesn't always pack the rafters, unfortunately. But still, listen. The story is, as we know, Drone Gate. Just as we thought everything was going smoothly in Canadian football, scandal. Wow. Maybe it's a good thing, right? All the world's eye is on Canada now. Or are they? Or are we just blowing this out of proportion? At the very least, though, it's a real embarrassment. Dubs, let's start with you. You're a foreign player. You play for Canada. It's a really bad look. We'll get to how commonplace this actually is in world football, but right now, it ain't a good spot, is it?
No, it's terrible. And I was talking to Forrest yesterday, and they're the defending gold medal winners, champions, coming in, targets on their back to attempt to do it again. Regardless of how they navigate this tournament, what the result is at the conclusion of it, they've lost before they've even kicked a ball. And that is self-inflicted. That's as a result of the staff not weighing risk versus reward. What, like you said, regardless of whether or not it's a common practice, you don't do that at the Olympics. You know that security is going to be heightened. And I won't get into speculation, but Claire Brustad from the broadcast, who is also going to be on the call for this match, did a Sports Center hit yesterday. And she said, at worst, Bev is complicit. And at best, she lost control of her staff. So either way, it's not good. And now these players have to deal with this. It's, again, performance that's going to be clouded by something off the pitch. And, you know, like you said, we were in a good spot with Canada soccer seemingly riding this wave of momentum, lots of positivity, and now it's all come crashing down again.
Dubs, tell me a little bit about, we were talking about this yesterday, at the Olympics, you have this feeling at tournaments like that. I mean, I only played in one tournament. That was a Francophone Games. And you have this feeling that, you know, this isn't just about you. It's not about us. It's about the whole Olympic team. It's about everybody. And you're not only letting yourself down, but you're letting the whole Olympic team down.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's special about the Olympic Games, especially as a footballer. Like, obviously, there's a great sense of pride when you pull on that jersey, you represent your country. You don't take that for granted, hearing your anthem. But to be part of the Olympic Games, it's bigger than you. And you recognize that you're representing your country, of course, as you normally do. But you're also representing that Canadian delegation filled with the best and the brightest from your own country. And we got a sense because the footballing experience is unique because you're under the umbrella of FIFA, but then you're still within the Olympic tournament. So you're outside the village and then you come back in. But because you start early on, and this is perhaps why there's so many eyeballs on this right now, it would have been talked about regardless, but there's nothing else happening. So this is a bigger story than it would have been had it happened. It broke after the second game. But when we opened our Olympics in 2008 with a win against Argentina. Candace Chapman scored that goal. We returned to the Olympic Village, where we'd only been there briefly before we went away again. And every day next to Canada House, they would run, they'd have a projector and put it up against the wall. And it was the highlights of day one. There's not much happening, but we figured prominently in that. And I still get goosebumps. It was set to Viva La Vida by Coldplay. And every time I hear that song, I think about Chappie scoring and I think about the celebration. But within that, there was also, you know, the agony of defeat and people, you know, working for 4 years and falling well short, but everything that it represented. And that's what you're playing for. It's all of those athletes as well. And so we were met with this groundswell of support and people saying, oh my gosh, like you guys really got us off on the right foot. This is tremendous. We didn't walk into that village as heroes, but they saw us as sparking what was to come for the Canadian contingent. And now this team, again, regardless of performance, regardless of results, are going to be seen as pariahs as they come back into that Canadian camp. And the players have done nothing. And it's completely done by the staff. And so I feel just absolutely gutted for these players that no matter what they do, they will be seen and painted as villains.
Jimmy, is there any way to galvanize a team from this kind of crap? Or is it just too embarrassing? It is too much of a separation between, as Dub said, that the players and the staff. Because often you see teams facing adversity, which this is, right? You know, love it or hate it, it's adversity. But can they galvanize from this? Or is it going to be just a major black eye and a problem for the players to come out from?
No, I think the older, experienced players will be getting together and making sure that the group is galvanized. Me as a player, I would be so pissed at that staff. It would be ridiculous. One, for cheating, and then two, for adding that added pressure on us. And now people questioning us now, you know, is this the first time they've done it? Have they done this before? They're Olympic gold medal champions. Did they do it the previous Olympics? There's going to be a lot of questions that need to be answered. And it's just added pressure on that Canadian squad that they don't need right now. And to cheat at an Olympics and try to get an advantage is absolute bullshit. I have no idea why you would do it. There's plenty of other resources to scout players through analytics, Y Scout. You name it. You can watch every single match. You can know everything about a player. What the hell do you need a drone for to watch a training session? It doesn't make sense. It's another black eye for Canadian soccer, and it's an absolute embarrassment. And whoever knows about this, every single one should be accountable for it.
Well, listen, Craig, it seems that there's a big scapegoat here, right? And that is the pilot of the drone, Joey Lombardi, who's been sent home. He's got a suspended jail sentence. He's taking the bullet here. I mean, at some point, someone's got to stand up, surely, and raise their hand and say, you know what? It wasn't just Joey. Because there's no way, I'm sorry, an analyst, unaccredited or otherwise, which means nothing because there's only a certain number of accreditations at these types of tournaments, is going rogue here. Right. Yeah. And is flying a drone over a training session. He's got a boss and who's got a boss. Surely there's more to it.
Yeah, I would say so. You're going to pack a drone. Yeah, I'm just going to pack my drone. I don't even know if that's legal, bringing drones in other countries, but
probably not in Paris where they're on, you know, high alert at any time anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And the reason I believe that they found out what drone it was because it went up again. They didn't catch from the first time.
They did it twice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, this sounds absolutely ridiculous to the point where does Bev not think of the repercussions of what could happen from this? Like potentially losing your job, potentially, you know, you've tarnished your team, you've tarnished yourself, you've tarnished the gold medal a little bit because people are going to be thinking, how far did this go back? Did this go back to Tokyo? And if it did go back to Tokyo, they're in trouble. Like if that is actually proven that they were doing this in Tokyo, what is the IOC going to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's what it does. It throws all of that into question, right? That not only the player's integrity, but it tarnishes past results. Maybe that gold medal. How long has it been going on? Yeah. You know, we don't really know.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, too, for people that do know Joey, he's such a kind, caring, quiet man. And there's no way on God's green earth I could see Joey packing his drone, heading over there, was thinking to himself, you know what? I'm just going to go watch a training session and I'm going to film this from the bushes. It just does not make sense whatsoever. Now, this individual has got a criminal record. He's lost his job. And what, all by himself he did this? It just does not make sense whatsoever to me.
So what's the right course of action here then? Is it up to whoever gave him those instructions to stand up, or either it's going to hurt the team in this tournament? Would you be okay with that, Dubs?
I think I would. I mean, I was going back and forth, bouncing it off a number of ex-teammates and people that I know. And I don't know. I think it's you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. I think the right thing to do is to remove everybody who was complicit. And I would find it very hard to believe that Bev Priestman was unaware of what was happening. So, you know, but then as a player that throws everything up in the air, your routine, your organization, the way things kind of hum along, you have an out and out leader, and that's Bev Priestman. So even if she's done something wrong, the players are pissed. They acknowledge that it was a bad move and it's upset everything that they've worked for. They still understand how to be a team under Bev. But once you know, like, how can you keep her there? I think the right thing to do from a federation standpoint would probably be to remove her. And then from Bev's perspective, just I wanted to throw this in before and I forgot. I was watching a video and it was just kind of a hype one, I think, put together by CBC Olympics about this team coming into the tournament as defending gold medalists. And she's talking about how they want to work harder than the other team. They're willing to do that work. They have such quality. They're hungry. They're doing all the right things. There's such belief in the group, in the individuals, but mostly as a collective. And if she truly believed in the group, would she feel the need to fly a drone over an opponent that they can easily beat? There's just a lot of stuff that doesn't check out for me. And it's boring, but I keep coming back to it was unnecessary.
Yeah.
Like she's going to justify it and rationalize it as ticking all the boxes, doing her due diligence to make sure she was the most prepared she could be as a coach, to make sure that she had all the information to make the right calls in terms of selection, in terms of tactics and their structure and systems. That's fine, but not that way, you know, and everything that it does to kind of stain and blight Canadians and how they're seen worldwide. Ben Johnson did it because of doping. I don't know if this is much different.
Yeah, I agree with you. And for Bev to say, do you know what? I'm responsible for this group. Now he wasn't credited, was he? He's uncredited.
Yeah,
unaccredited, but that's just them distancing themselves from him. Joey Lombardi is more than just an unaccredited staff member. Right. He does so much for Ontario soccer. He does so much for the youth national teams. Yeah. He does so much to support various things. He's been on support calls for Project 8 before it was branded. Yeah. Like, he does so much for the game in this country.
Yeah. And he lived in John Herdman's basement for a couple of years as well, didn't he? When he was working with him.
Did he really? So he goes back that far with John. Yeah.
Goes back that far with John. But the thing is with Bev, like, I don't understand. If I'm not guilty and I know nothing about this, I'm coming out and saying, I know nothing about this. I had no idea that this man was, I would not be saying, do you know what, for this match, I'm going to step down. To me, that shows that you know what's going on. Because it just doesn't make sense. Because I'm telling you now, if I didn't know what's going on, I'm sticking up for myself. And I'm telling everybody that I don't know what the hell's happening here, that this guy just decided to go fly a drone. Did not make sense.
The quote she said was, I am ultimately responsible for conduct in our program. Accordingly, to emphasize our team's commitment to integrity, I've decided to voluntarily withdraw from coaching the match on Thursday. That's today. In the spirit of accountability, I do this with the interests of both teams in mind and to ensure everyone feels that the sportsmanship of this game is upheld. Craig's sportsmanship. Bit late, isn't it?
Yeah. I like how they say they're all really the team's really prepared. I'm like, yeah, you've been had a drone up there for a couple of days. Of course you're ready.
I mean, there's so many layers here. I mean, listen, let me play devil's advocate here, right? Are we making way too much of this, Craig? This is something that happens in sport, happens in football. There's a litany of examples. One of the most recent being Marcelo Bielsa, at Leeds in a game against Derby County. He had a guy hiding in the bushes, literally hiding in the bushes. And he said, listen, I've been doing this for years. He admitted it. He did this crazy, remember that press conference he did following that? It was brilliant, like with a PowerPoint presentation saying, this is what he does. And it comes from the current culture of football where there's this self-importance where you have these closed sessions, right? And in the media, right? Those who don't know, in the media, you go to TFC or you go to Vancouver or wherever it is in the world, you're open training for 15 minutes. You can watch the guys warm up, literally. And then they close it down because what's happening is of national fucking importance here. It's so important. I cannot see how you defend in a 4-4-2 because that will ruin the livelihoods of our staff and our players. It's a joke. It goes way beyond that to the point where, and again, I'm not condoning what's happened here, but people cheat to get that edge because sessions are closed. Are we making way too much of it here? Is it really up there with Ben Johnson and Seoul? I mean, that was a national disgrace. Have we got to that
level?
It's cheating.
Yeah, it's
there's no difference if you're going to take a substance or you're cheating with drones. You're still cheating. You're taking away from the integrity of the game and the fair play.
And but it's the levels Olympics, of cheating. For God's sake. I mean, there's levels. Ben, I mean, I think that's a different level entirely, is it not?
Yeah, if you're going to categorize it. Yeah, cheating is cheating. But sure, I mean, I think here it's important to be clear about the fact that I'm assuming that the players had no idea that this is something the staff was doing. And then in relaying, maybe there was information that wasn't relayed, or if in relaying the information, they're not playing the drone footage for the players as part of the preparation, but they're relaying aspects of what they're seeing. And again, this is speculative. I'm making an assumption. So that is the distinction there between, yes, a more severe, an athlete knowingly taking a banned substance to improve their performance versus players who are benefiting from information gleaned in an unethical way, in an unsporting way. So I think you can separate the two, but they remain at their core, at their root, cheating.
Mm-hmm. And we also, Doug, when you think about it, for years and years, we have railed against this sort of thing as far as cheating on the pitch, the shenanigans, the corruption. And we can't sit here on a soapbox and accuse people of doing all this sort of stuff and then sit there and say, oh, this is, well, everybody does it.
Yeah, it's part of the game.
It's not how we work. It's not how we operate. And the worst place to possibly do it is at the Olympic Games.
Yes, when it's meant to be about that, right? The spirit of competition and the spirit of the Olympics. It's the worst possible place that you could do it.
How far back? Yeah, but listen, let's not kill ourselves. The Olympics, this bastion of purity, it is not, right? It should be, but it's not. I mean, look at the drug bans over the years, you know, the scandals that hit the Olympic Games. At its essence, yes, it should be. But I don't think we should look at it any different to a professional team doing this. It's still cheating, right? No matter what, the platform here. I mean, how far back does this go, do you think? I mean, are we pioneers? Is Canada pioneers in flying drones and cheating and getting, you know, insights and intel on opposing teams?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there was an article somebody wrote about, there was speculation, I think it was against Honduras, where Canada and a drone was flown, and I'm not sure what ended up coming with that. But
was it shut down?
I don't know, but
Honduras is going to be a shutdown.
It's been heard. It's been mentioned before, so I don't know. It's just it's a black eye that you really don't want to be associated with.
And so, what's the next step? So, Craig, go ahead.
If they do a deep dive investigation, going back to our men's program, who is in charge of the CSA at that particular time, and they put these individuals and talk to them individually, and they're going to find out a lot more of what's going on. And if FIFA is aware of this, which I understand they are,
they're investigating, yeah.
The penalty is going to be a lot larger. The fines and suspensions will be larger because they're repeat offenders.
So the sanctions beyond this tournament is what you're saying is potential here.
Fines, suspensions, yeah.
Fines is not something that I'm easy with Canadian football. It's the last thing this program needs. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So what's the next step here, Craig? What's the next step?
Well, and forget that with all this good news and goodwill and everything else that the women have put together, the men have done over the last few months, last couple of years, you know, all that, when you're looking for corporate support that we talk about the lack of, and then companies are now looking at going, what? You're going to announce in the next week that we're going to give you X amount of millions of dollars to your program. And we've got this now coming at us because now we're going to be asked about this, whether you want to support it, somebody who's been doing this. It's just a real, really black, it's a bad black eye. And it's just, it just sets us back. You know, just when we take two steps forward, we take three back.
Yeah, it's frustrating. And I think Kevin Blue's got a massive decision. I'm sure he's going to be investigating big time into this right now because, you know, what he's done so far, I think he's done a tremendous job. Jesse's done a great job with the men's national team. Everybody was excited for this women's Olympic team to defend their championship. And there was such a buzz. And again, it's just another kick in the balls where we just got to go, how can this happen? Like, how stupid can we possibly be when things are starting to move forward and finally you're starting to see brighter days? It's a disgrace.
It's ballsy, isn't it? It's taking a real, real chance. You know us. You know the temperature of the game in this country right now. It's pretty good. It's been for a long time. And you know that what you're doing is wrong. And you know the risk involved. That's ballsy. That's arrogance. Isn't it? That's unbelievable arrogance. Oh, we won't get caught. We always do it. That's what it kind of screams to me.
Yeah, you're not thinking about that or they're not thinking about that at all. And certainly not thinking about the players, because that's what I keep going back to. Like, we're looking at it from a macro approach or a zoomed out approach from Canada Soccer's perspective and how this federation is viewed within the world and bringing sponsors on board who for a long time it was a moving dumpster fire. And finally they were thinking, we can breathe a little bit. We're on the other side of it. There's some real tangible positivity and momentum. And now that's all fucked. But from the players' perspective, they had a really disappointing World Cup when in that same calendar year, 6 months prior, the same federation pulled funding on them, threatened to sue them. And then they were going to perform in spite of that. And they didn't perform. And we held them to account for that. And then finally, a little bit of momentum after they beat Jamaica and were on the right track, tactical fluidity, a little bit of sophistication, new players, new profiles in. There seemed to be new blood and like a freshness about the squad and their approach. And they were riding their own wave of momentum. And then that was hitched to kind of the broader momentum. And now that's all gone again. So it's, again, they can't just be focused on performance. And that's something that's plagued the women's game for a long time. You don't have the luxury of doing that. And now these players are put into the same position again.
That would be the coach's face. I'm sorry. If that was one of the coaches under us and he was coaching our national team, I'd be right in their face. How dare you do this and put us under this pressure?
I think it's a great point, that is the pressure now the team's under suddenly. Because, and like I said, with the Olympics not actually starting till Friday, you know, there's a lot of eyeballs on this team, on this game now. And listen, we're taping this before the match, just time-wise, it made sense for us. Obviously, we'll look back on the game. Are you doing a post-pod today, Dubs? Are you planning on it or not?
I don't know if we're going to do it today or tomorrow, but we're definitely going to do kind of a post-mortem or a look at today's match.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it better be a good performance is my point. Although then the Kiwis can say, well, no fucking wonder.
they're pressuring FIFA to make sure that Canada is unable, like that the game's meaningless, so that Canada, even if they were to win, don't get any points. And I'm not sure what you do, like to come down on something after it's being played and then to strip them of points. But they have to do something that's actionable. They have to do something that's more than just like a cursory fine or a suspension of an individual. They might be dealing with this in like what, 2026 by the time the World Cup kicks off.
And a special committee, a drone committee. It'd be a drone committee set up. And it'll take a while to establish who's in that.
Yeah, because they drone on and on.
You couldn't help yourself, could you?
it's so many fun, so little time.
Well, listen, as frustrating as it is and embarrassing as it is, we will have a lot of fun with this over the next few years. We just
well, You know what? This is kind of, didn't we all see this coming from that song? The Counting Crows song from the 90s, Mr. Drones? I believe it went something like, Mr. Drones, Joey, looking in the bushes, and he stare at the New Zealand women. He's looking at you with a drone for the Canada team. I want to win the Olympics, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, we knew it was coming.
It's so weird how art often predicts the future, isn't it? Back then, we had no idea that those lyrics would be so telling.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Grunge, man. I was...
That's in the JC Greatest Hits. That was amazing.
That was awesome.
All right, listen, Dubs, you got to get ready for the game itself. We'll continue this conversation. Let us know your thoughts, please, in the comments on YouTube and also on social media. Go to wearefootyprime.com as well. Check out all our fun content there. Not a great way to start the defense of the gold medal. Let's put it that way. Pretty damn embarrassing, quite honestly. And we'll see what the fallout of this is, both domestically and internationally. So until the next show, thanks, everyone, and cheers for listening and watching.
Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeIG and visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Really good show, guys. That was great.
JC.
I got to make sure I don't get fucking emotional.
What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.